from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Back here with our buddy Matt George of the Locked On Kings podcast. Matt was in the chat earlier. He was very eager to talk about wrestling, but...
Go ahead. I saw something else.
I got a text from our friend who's in Paris.
Oh,
would you like to guess what that text said? America,
I don't want to guess.
Survives the victory. I read the last one to you. Went from the last game.
Yeah.
Today's text. This is a shoot, and I can show it to you if you don't believe me. This is the text that I just received, likely from the bus ride in Paris. Is New Day still the best tag team? I swear to God, that's the text I just got.
What?
They're just like us.
Is New Day still the best tag team? I was like, well, they're not really together anymore, but I don't know.
So I don't know. This may not even be a radio conversation that we could have or anything like that. It may just be personal between the two of us. I want to know who was asking these questions.
Yeah, I'm curious.
And who they think is, like, for instance, does the best player in the world say, no, New Day? Is the conversation happening with the best player in the world? I need to know.
Also, no one can ever say anything to us about talking wrestling again because it's clearly a national, worldwide thing.
Where would they, like, who, Matt, who's the greatest tag team of all time? Is it New Day?
I mean,
it's New Day.
I think it's the Usos.
And the Usos, right? Yeah. Like, that's the legit, like.
I think, yeah, Usos are up there. I think it's the Usos. I always want to mix tag teams and factions together, so I always have to keep the factions out of it. I think the Usos would be my pick.
Yeah, I think so, too. But, it's one and two, and I don't think you're wrong if you say one.
Hell in a Cell match was New Day versus Usos. Hell in the Cell match was one of the best matches that people don't talk about. It was such a good match.
Tell our buddy you think it's the Usos now, and then see what they say and see what's going on. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's the Usos.
I love that we say
once
our
again.
Buddy,
I don't know if the best player in the world will be. Maybe she'll come on the show and disagree with us live.
Well, part of me hopes I wish I could FaceTime her, but that wouldn't do anything for the, it might be the.
Because does she have an opinion?
I don't know.
I'm assuming she's like listening to a conversation.
I have no idea.
But she may have an
opinion.
She may know these things.
I don't know. But the idea of the women's national team discussing wrestling on their way home is just terrific.
Bro, they could be listening right now trying to figure out the answer. Like honestly.
It's just the best. Are you excited for SummerSlam weekend? I know
Absolutely.
You are. I know you are.
This card is loaded. And this is the first time that there's probably three or four storylines happening at the same time that I'm super invested in. Because even going back to Mania, it was Cody and versus Bloodline. Like that was all pretty much I or anybody cared about. I think Drew McIntyre is the biggest star in WWE right now. I think he's absolutely killing it. He versus Punk with Rollins getting involved is phenomenal. I think the Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley with Dom in the middle angle is super good, and I'm completely invested in that. Of course, there's still the old Bloodline, and there's a lot of people that believe Roman's making an appearance because it's SummerSlam, but we'll have to wait and see with that. Like, there are a lot of different angles. I mean, even I don't really care too much about Damian Priest versus Gunther, but they have a good amount of heat. So I think there's interest in that as well. I'm very invested. I think there's so much of this card that could be the main event, and I'm psyched for it. I can't wait.
Maybe I'm just not as tapped in right now because I haven't, I see highlights. I haven't watched any of the shows in a couple weeks. But while we all thought this would be where Roman comes back, it doesn't feel like there's buzz right
they've
now.
They've dropped hints that you kind of sit up straight like, all right, is this it? But yeah, the buzz isn't there, which is good. Like they're leaving breadcrumbs, right? I think that's what they're doing. They're leaving breadcrumbs, but there's no flat out.
Well, I say that because it feels like it ain't happening. It feels like it'd be more Royal Rumble now.
Oh, that's tough because how do you set up for Mania in such a short period?
I don't know.
You might have a couple of stories to tell before you get to Mania with Roman Reigns. That's a long break too.
Yeah.
What is he, John Cena?
Do they have to set something up for Survivor Series too? Like maybe with the Bloodline or whatever?
No, because I think everyone's got that Bloodline versus Bloodline story. And I think that has to develop. Like if Roman walks out tonight, don't walk out with the Usos. Like tell that story over the next few weeks or months or whatever to where, you know, first he gets Jay back. And then I don't think Jimmy's hurt. I think Jimmy just went away. Then you get Jimmy back. Now you got the Usos. Obviously you got Paul by your side. So you have that kind of original version of the Bloodline. And then maybe you get around that January marker and that's when you know who comes back and gets involved. However, he's going to with his stupid championship belt that he walks around with like it's real. I think I'm turning on The Rock, to be honest with you.
This Rock heel turn is crazy.
I think I'm turning on The Rock.
This is crazy.
Giving a lot of pump, 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 pump. Like, he's doing that. He's in that era right now.
No, he really kind of is.
Yeah.
He kind of is.
Yeah.
But that's the point. I think he's leaning so heavily into the gimmick of him being just this final boss that it's obnoxiously. No,
that he's going to appear on Fox News.
Yeah, no, I think this is real life.
No, I think I have actually turned on The Rock.
I was thinking more of the character, not the political.
Well, no, the character is working. I just really hate that stupid belt. That like, part of me like, I haven't heard like a lot of negative things about The Rock, like dealing with The Rock, working with The Rock, and all of that. But I do like, he is essentially to a certain degree a boss now. Like he doesn't own the company. But
he's like in board meetings and stuff.
Well, and which isn't uncommon. He is. He's a board member. But like the owner, Ari Emanuel, that's been his agent for years. If he wants Triple H gone, he could theoretically fire Triple H. Like he has like that high of a level. So part of me wonders, like, all right, Rock, are we willing? Looking out for everybody's best interest here. What are we doing? But maybe to Matt's point, that's the brilliance of the character.
Did you watch the YouTube like documentary behind the scenes of WrestleMania, the WrestleMania build that they put out, that WWE put out?
I did.
Because that shed some really good light, too, on now it could be Rock taking advantage of the opportunity or Dwayne taking advantage of the opportunity to once again look like the good guy a little bit. But I mean, he made sure to emphasize in that documentary that he saw the reaction and was like, oh, we got to pivot. We got to go back to Cody and we got to get me to go heel a little bit. So I mean, WWE is just in a phenomenal place, and it's not Rock that gets the credit for it. It's Hunter. It's Triple H. I mean, he's just put the WWE in such a position to where so many different storylines matter. So much different talent matters. And I mean, it doesn't, even with Cody as the guy and he's in your face all the time, he's not the only reason you tune in to watch, like when Cena was the guy for so long.
He feels like Cena, to be honest with you right now.
Cody?
Yeah. Not in terms of longevity, but the way they're positioning him, like he is the ultra super babyface guy who's doing, he's bringing kids into the ring to celebrate, and he's doing all of that different stuff. Like there's heavy John Cena vibes. That not that there's bad, because you went through 4 years of, you know, evil Roman Reigns, right? That like, hey, we're going to do something a little bit different here, and like there's nothing wrong with it, except that it's going to get tiresome at some point. and you didn't do it with John, which is okay.
Yeah.
But at some point with Cody, you might have to
make
that switch.
As you're saying this, I was just about to say, I'm kind of ready for the tail turn.
Yeah, it's too early.
I know
it's
it's not happening now, but that's what I'm looking forward to with Cody next, whenever it happens.
Who do you get him to turn on? Like, who is the baby face that's forcing Cody to turn? Doesn't exist yet.
I got one. I just need him to make it. It's Punk.
Punk is making Cody turn, and Punk remaining the baby face is tough for me to get behind.
No, I get it.
Punk is the guy with the mouth.
No, I get it. Pause, but I get it. I just don't. But like, who's the second biggest star? if it's Roman and Cody, like, and we'll put them at, who's next?
I don't think
it's Punk.
Yeah, I think you're right, but I think the guy. Punk is a good one. It might be
now.
Him.
It's easier to turn Punk heel, but like they love CM Punk.
I was gonna say Seth.
He's done it so many times. Like it's not gonna have the same impact.
You need to have a babyface that's so babyface that Cody can turn.
Right. Seth was a heel right before WrestleMania, wasn't he? Like he was a. He was a heel tweener ish.
Yeah,
like
that's what I'm saying. Like,
but he's not.
They can't turn Seth heel now. Like I think they've tried. People love the song. People go crazy.
Well,
like,
they do go crazy. They have to change the song.
I think they've tried in the last two years, and he just gets too much of a pop.
I mean, is Cena going for belt number 17? Maybe you do it that way.
And Cody turns on him?
Yeah, WrestleMania. They could do a little. Want to shake hands? Like Cena wants to shake his hand after, then Cody beats his ass
and gives him the old Chris Jericho to Shawn Michaels.
I love that.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I love that actually. That's the only thing that makes any remote sense.
That's a good call.
That makes a lot.
That's a good call. All
right. All right.
Beat the bald spot off him.
I just want Punk to make it through this weekend healthy. That is literally all I want. Like, just come on, buddy. Just make it a couple pay-per-views. Don't get hurt. Because at some point, it's going to be like, man, just stop doing this. Do something else. Matt, since we're talking wrestling, we'll use wrestling terms. We were putting you over earlier talking about the podcast. In the midst of the slowest time of year, man, you have had some gems of podcast recently. You kind of hipped us to this one right before it dropped, but you shared... as the best you could, pieces of a conversation you had with an assistant coach who talked about the Sacramento Kings, the DeMar DeRozan acquisition, and how important and how beneficial that's going to be for the two squads. And then, as Casey pointed out, you did a podcast about breaking down what is a successful season for the Sacramento Kings and how just getting to the playoffs isn't going to be enough.
Yeah, so I was listening to your guys' conversation on the way in, and initially, I was thinking, like, success and failure feels too black and white just at this point with how stacked the West is. And just, like, it can – the line between success and failure is super blurred and not as solid as people would like to think it is. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like on this entire topic, as I was listening to Kenny talk about it and put up a case of – of why it's not a failure so eloquently, I realized that I'm not fence sitting anymore. I'm actually falling into the, I think it is a failure. Mm. I think it is a failure to a significant extent, because ultimately the whole story matters in this scenario. And if you are the Sacramento Kings, regardless of the circumstance, right, this is a, you guys were bringing up a bunch of different scenarios, and what if they get swept, or what if they win 53 games, or whatever the case may be. First off, I think we should be looking at this season as a whole through the scope of win total more than playoff seeds. I think just breaking that 50 win threshold should be the expectation or goal for this Kings squad, and I think the playoffs seamlessly come with that. But making it to the playoffs and losing in the first round again means essentially over the course of 2 years, you treaded water. And over the course of those 2 years, De'Aaron's contract is starting to run out. Domas's contract is kicked in, but both those guys are getting older. You're now going into the next year where DeMar DeRozan is 36 years old. You're banking on either Monty making another move, which he has his assets still to do that, mm-hmm. or you're putting all your faith in Keegan and, I guess, Devin Carter to make that big difference. Now, there is a chance that they could. And that would be great. I think we all would love to see, even with DeMar DeRozan here, Keegan Murray make a really big leap next season. And apparently, like, Deuce and Moe brought this to my attention yesterday, because I didn't realize it. ESPN, I guess, like, GMs and scouts or whatever, somebody, like, they did a poll on what the worst move of the offseason was, and so many had the Kings trading for DeMar DeRozan as a bad move, and for a number of reasons. And one of the reasons was, like, what does it do to Keegan Murray? I think that's silly. I think Keegan is more than capable of making the big jump still this year with DeMar DeRozan on the team. And if he doesn't, that's fine, because he doesn't have to anymore, like it felt like last year.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you, and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
But going back to kind of my original point, as I try and tie these thoughts together, like, to me, if you go through another season, regardless of your win total, regardless of your seeding, wherever you end up, now, if you're the eighth seed going against the number one seed, we shouldn't expect them to win a playoff series. But I would argue if you're the eighth seed and you just barely got into the playoffs via the play-in like you couldn't do last season, are we really feeling better about that? Are we really feeling good about that? And now you're in a position where you're looking around going, how much better realistically can we expect to get? 2 years ago when they made the playoffs for the first time, it's like, this is new, this is exciting, this is a new group. Domas hadn't gotten his extension yet. Like, okay, let's see where this team can go. At that point, it'll be almost three years ago if when we get to these upcoming playoffs. It'll be 2-3 years in the rearview mirror. Like, the clock is ticking a little bit. The Kings aren't on a timeline as much as the Suns or the Clippers or the Lakers or the Warriors are, so they're not in panic mode necessarily. But I think it's hard to imagine the Kings doing something this season and their ceiling being exponentially higher than this year based off of the team that they have and how much better that team can, in theory, get, if that makes sense.
Okay. Not an epiphany, a thought. I want to see what you guys have to say. Because what Matt says, everything makes perfect sense. I understand it. Now I think about what's next, right? So if you get to that scenario where you've got these guys and you lose in the first round or whatever, mm-hmm. and people consider it a failure, and you're like, all right, well, how much more can you need? What can you do with these guys? It feels like the next logical step would be you have to look at changing the core. And that's a conversation. And when I talk about the core, I'm talking about two people. I'm talking about you. If you don't feel like with DeRozan, Sabonis, Murray, and maybe, I guess, three, maybe Murray could be in there. But with Fox and all these guys, and you're like, yo, the ceiling is just, we've reached the ceiling. Like, we can't.
Well, that's four. I think you just named four people. Five, who's the core?
I don't think DeMar is. You're not moving DeMar.
Okay, so we're talking Fox
first,
and Sabonis.
First, I was going to say Fox and Sabonis.
Yeah.
But I think in that case, you might have to add Keegan to that, too.
That's too where I think it is. Malik is the core, but I also don't think he's a guy where this isn't working. We got to get rid of Malik Monk. Exactly. That's not
right.
Really.
And I don't know, people.
Are you ready to have those conversations? Is what you're saying? Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and taking that a step further too, Kenny. Let's say the Kings make the playoffs and are a first round playoff exit again. Again, context is important, but if the Kings are losing in the playoffs again, there's probably a lot of people once again ringing the Domantas Sabonis alarm bell, depending upon how he performs. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, you have De'Aaron Fox with a massive max contract extension looming, mm-hmm. and De'Aaron starts thinking, "Can I get it done here?" And the Kings start thinking, can we get it done with De'Aaron? So now, again, you're opening a door to, in theory, like, you think back to, because we do this with everything, we compare this version of the Kings to the Kings of the late 90s and early 2000s, the glory years. And you see that, okay, the Kings were first round playoff exits 2 years in a row before they finally won a playoff series. After they won a playoff series, they then got swept by the Lakers in the second round. The following year, they made it all the way to the Western Conference Finals. But for two straight years, they lost to, I think, the Lakers and the Jazz in the first round of the playoffs before they actually won a playoff series. Mm-hmm. I know they missed the playoffs last year. That was year two to me. That was it. And the circumstances happened the way that they happened. You got hurt and whatever the case may be. But that can't be a lost year. That can't be a throwaway where you go, okay, just sacrifice that year, make the playoffs again, be a first-round playoff again, exit again, and now we're back in the same exact situation we were two summers ago. Like, that's not... I don't believe you have to constantly be moving upwards, but essentially treading water in the grand scheme of things for 2.5 seasons with a core of Fox and Sabonis and Keegan and now DeMar added to it. Not that those guys are tremendously old and their windows are closing or anything. I just think it opens the door to now the Kings really have to look around and go, can we like, can we afford to only tread water over 2 years when teams like OKC and Minnesota and other younger teams are knocking at the door ahead of them? And then you have teams like San Antonio and maybe even Houston who are biting at their heels behind them. I just don't think the Kings can feel good about making the playoffs and being a first-round playoff exit again. But, of course, circumstances are important.
Let me ask both of you guys another question, and Damian, you'll understand this as well. Once again, losing the first round, those concerns come up and those questions come up about Sabonis, about Fox, about Keegan Murray. Are the Kings in a situation where they're almost like football teams with young quarterbacks? What you going to do?
Well, I'll give you the question that I just wrote down. The scenarios if they miss the playoffs, right? Or if they lose in the first round of the playoffs. That's the scenario we've presented. Mm-hmm. What makes De'Aaron different than Dak?
The amount of that, I hear
because it's like because it's essentially what you it's essentially what you just asked. I just put a different name on it because I knew it would piss everybody off, mm-hmm. except for the Cowboy fans, or maybe pisses the Cowboy fans off too. But the question with Dak, and we established this earlier in our brief Cowboys discussion, the question about Dak isn't if he's good. Mm-hmm. We know Dak is good. Like, that's not the question. Maybe he's talked about it as if he's, you know, number two to Patrick Mahomes at number one, but there's no question that Dak Prescott is a good quarterback.
Right.
The question with what's going on with CeeDee Lamb and what's going on with Micah Parsons is Dak Prescott the guy who will take an extremely expensive football team to the Super Bowl? Mm-hmm. And again, one first contract, I think. And, you know, there are a few guys who are, I know. Is De'Aaron a I think guy? And now you're at the point of Matt George talking about that super max contract. Now you better be at the I know part. Do you know that De'Aaron is the one? Mm-hmm. And if not, like in the situation that you guys presented, he's Dak Prescott in this situation.
Mm. I'll ask both of you guys. We kind of keep putting different caveats on the scenario, but I think Scooter brings up a good point. As like I said, the difference will be Fox has carried a team in the playoffs. Dak has
carried the team where?
But remember what we talked about earlier with Dak. When they lose, Dak looks like crap.
No, that's fine. But he's carried the team where?
He hasn't carried them anywhere.
That's right. They haven't gone anywhere.
But the scenario would probably be we got to get something where this guy doesn't have to average 35 and still lose. We need to get him more help or the combination of. I think Fox would be the last one, even though he's to be the one,
I agree.
The one up for contract.
For the record, yes.
Yeah, but I think he'd be the last one. I think if he had the same type of series he had in a loss this year, I think they'd be looking around Fox to be like, all right, man, we got to find out what we need to get to work with him because he's averaging 30-something a game in this series, and these other guys might have disappeared or something like that.
Matt?
Yeah, I think remove the caveats, remove the scenarios, and look at it for what it is. Over the course of 2 or 3 years, you essentially went nowhere. You took a step back, and then you got back. But now, like this isn't the calendar keeps moving for all these guys, and the calendar keeps moving for the rest of the league as well. And this is a results-oriented league. If you win 50 games for the first time in God knows how long, we're feeling good about that number in Sacramento. But what the hell is it for if you get into the playoffs and then lose in the first round? And then again, you open up the door to questions about Fox and then questions that Fox is asking about the team. But like what Kenny just said too, the logical response, if you're thinking 1 year at a time, is, okay, so Fox scored 35 in the playoffs or averaged 35 in the playoffs and the Kings still lost. Okay, we got to look around the surrounding product around him. That's the same thing we were talking about 2, 3, 4 years ago before the Domantas Sabonis trade even happened. So again, remove all the specific context. You didn't go anywhere. You tried and think it's a good thing that you tried and it's a good thing that you actually broke that playoff drought, but I think at this point, the Sacramento Kings, when they're looking at the Western Conference, they have to start looking at this as a results-oriented situation. Now, we're not talking about the results of actually winning a championship, although Mike and Fox and all of them are going to talk about wanting to contend for a championship this year. That's not what we're asking. We're asking to win a playoff series, make it out of the first round. And when you have a group that is supposedly as talented as two all-NBA-type players in Fox and Sabonis in their primes right now. I think elite level 3-and-D wing in Keegan Murray, who should be the 2-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year in Malik Monk, and now a 6-time All-Star who, even though he's 35 years old, has showed zero signs of playing worse. In fact, has been playing better recently in his career. You take that group and you can't get past where you were in your first year of Fox, Sabonis, Keegan as a rookie, and Harrison Barnes. Like, that's what I have to look at. That's the scenario where I go, I'm not going anywhere. And now my timeline feels shorter.
So my thought is, and De'Aaron is probably perfect for the analogy, because he's the one that you have the most control over what happens in the future, as far as like contractually, because he'll be up for a contract. Sabonis, you'd have to trade. Keegan, mm-hmm. you'd have to trade. All these. De'Aaron Fox is probably the one that's most relatable to an NFL quarterback, because you're not like, you wouldn't be able to trade him for another point guard. It's you either sign him or you don't, and you lose him.
Yep.
And in that case, you sign him. Like, if the Kings lose in the first round and all this happens, and I'm not saying either one of you guys are saying anything different, but if they, and it's looked at as a failure and you got to evaluate things, you're like, well, we'll sign De'Aaron to this max and then we'll evaluate after that.
Yep.
Like, there's, to me, easy. There's no question.
Yeah, it's easy.
There's no question. You sign him, you bring him back, and you figure out maybe Keegan's on the trade. Maybe that Lauri Markkanen trade where we weren't willing to give up Keegan, maybe we're willing to give him up now because we haven't gotten anywhere. But if Fox wants to stay here, you sign him and you figure everything else out. And then maybe 2-3 years now, if you haven't progressed, then you look about moving him. But that's the one where it's like, all right, if you say, nah, Fox ain't it, well, what are you doing? Like, what, mm-hmm. You think you're just going to draft
another one? Yeah.
Like, you sign him and you figure everything else
100%.
out.
100%.
And can I say this as a caveat, too? I'm speaking this way with the confidence in this feeling because, and maybe it's overly optimistic or maybe I'm have too much blind faith. I think this Kings roster is really freaking good. Mm-hmm. Like, I think this Kings team is going to be incredibly good this season. Mm-hmm. I think this Kings team is going to play so well and draw so much attention that people are going to come up with their criticisms because it's the Sacramento Kings and they try really hard to find a way to undermine every opportunity they freaking get. But beyond that, like, I think this Kings team is going to be so good and so dynamic that if they look that way and then get to the postseason, regardless of the circumstances, and then they struggle again, you're either talking a failure or a disappointment or a waste. Like, it falls into three categories, and all three categories open the door to tough decisions that have to be made. And the best case scenario, the ideal scenario, what Monty McNair is looking for here is for this core that he's now set here, this core five plus Herter and Trey Lyles and whatever, he's looking for this team to give him the context that he needs to spend the rest of his assets. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for the green light. And I don't know if he needs it in a winning a playoff series and then adding on to that later, or maybe he needs the first 50 games of this season to see how good this team is, and then he's willing at the trade deadline to go all in. Monty McNair has a lot of his chips already in the pot, but he hasn't gone all in yet. Mm-hmm. And if this team can't get past where they were 2 years ago, now he's going to be even more hesitant to go all in, because at that point it goes from tactical to desperate, mm-hmm. I think. And that's a position that I don't think Monty ever wants to be in and is comfortable in. He's shown that he's more than willing to be patient. He's more than willing to keep an eye out for the right moves while staying flexible. But if this Kings team still can't get it done, now the desperate becomes, hey, maybe we got to include Keegan Murray. Maybe we got to give up on Domantas Sabonis. And now you're caught talking about completely changing this team and sort of admitting that what you've done in the past wasn't right. It was the wrong move. It hasn't worked. And then bigger questions are starting to be asked from Kings ownership.
Well, at some point, those questions will be asked. Like, it happens with every franchise. Just the hope is it's no time soon.
All right.
Right. And that's the other thing. Like, we're having fun with this conversation because it's August 1st and there is no Kings game in sight. And I don't know what else to tell you about Boogie Ellis. So we create these conversations that are what ifs, what ifs, what ifs, and they're very generic. They're very generic conversations because they make for fun content. They spark conversations and they get good ideas flowing and all that different stuff. But I think the number one thing we were trying to point out earlier, and we got a great example from our man Kyle in the Chatty House, brought to you by Matthew's Mattress, that the story is important. Like, losing in the first round on the surface, yeah, that sucks. What's the story of the season, the playoff series, and how do we get to that loss? A 4-5 grueling 7-game series is different than a 3-6 and you're swept at home. You know, being a 50-plus win team and going out in a whimper, yeah, that's tough. But there's going to be stories to the season. There's going to be stories to the conference. There's going to be stories to each individual team. And there's going to be stories to Sacramento. Sacramento's story last year, to me, Matt, felt like they couldn't. You know, we point to the last month of the season with Herter and Malik Monk, and it's perfectly fair. But the reality was they were struggling all year, and it felt like they were struggling to find something. They got a little bit better defensively, I don't want to shortchange them. They got a lot better defensively in the second part of the year, but they still weren't that offense that we saw last year. We never saw Kevin Herter get going before his injury. There's a story to last year's season that just felt clunky. And to me, it really comes down to something as simple. If you eliminate that clunkiness, Casey's 100% right. This is a 50-plus win team. It's just, what's your story? And that is the thing when we create these scenarios that we don't know.
Yeah, and maybe D'Lo, I'm just being too stubborn with this because
probably,
you know, I'm feeling like the story doesn't really matter, like, because the result is what matters to me. And so, like, give me a scenario where the Kings make the playoffs, are eliminated in the first round, and maybe you're feeling good, but are you feeling good because of the result, or are you feeling good because it feels like a consolation prize? Like, even let's use an injury scenario, for example. Let's say the Kings get banged up at the end of the season again. They make it through the play-in, make it to the first round, and De'Aaron Fox and DeMar DeRozan can't carry a Sabonis-less, knock on wood, or Keegan Murray-less Sacramento Kings team to a first-round playoff victory over the second-seed Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, I get that, but again, I don't think I'm talking about, well, they tried, or I don't think I'm feeling good about that. Now I'm talking about, God, another lost season. Like, now this is a season that has gone by that it didn't matter. And now you're expected to, so like, the injury excuse doesn't matter to me. None of these excuses matter.
No, you're right.
Win the series or don't.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And we brought that up earlier in the discussion, is like, yeah, there's stories and there's, you know, there's framing to all of this, but in reality, it's another year with Fox. It's another year with Sabonis. And at this point, because of the structure of the contract, you really got 1 year left with DeMar. So where are you going? And we talked about building blocks and what do you have? And I think you talked about this a minute ago, Matt. You used the term assets. Like, what assets do you have to finally, okay, the season gets started. You know, we got to pull the trigger on that Rob Williams deal. How do we make that happen? We're really lacking in this department. Or, you know, so-and-so is available, or this is available. Those are things that you have to figure out, but you've got to figure them out pretty quickly. Because the idea of Ingram, and I kind of believe the idea of Kuzma, all that stuff, I don't think that's realistic. You're talking Rob Williams, right? You're talking about, but more specifically, less than players. Maybe you're talking about teams like Portland. You're talking about teams like Washington. You're talking about teams like Detroit. Like, what exactly are you guys doing? Charlotte, what are you doing? Because you got a guy over there. That guy could really help us. Here, take a second-round pick and whatever else we offer you. And you kind of move from there. But to your point, Matt, like, and I understand that, it is another year. And this is where the Portland Trail Blazers scenario comes back in. The Blazers kept making the playoffs, won some series, lost some series, but were never a threat to win a championship. They never took a step forward where it's like, watch out for those Trail Blazers. It was like, nah, Dame might be really fun in the playoffs, but they'll be eliminated at some point. Like, that is the reality of, you know, the Sacramento Kings might face that reality. We're just not used to it because they went so damn long without making the playoffs.
I appreciate you guys for so many different reasons, and a chief of them being you helped me formulate thoughts for what could end up being a podcast episode. And I think it kind of dawned on me, like, there's a question that the Kings need to have a confident answer to. There's a number of them, but there's one overarching question that I think Monty McNair needs to have a confident answer to by the end of this season. Am I confident going all in with this group, or am I not? That is the question he has to have a confident answer to. And to me, the real only way that he has the confidence to say yes 100% is if this team wins a playoff series. Like, that's where I feel like this group's at. If they're a first round playoff exit, I still think there's some hesitations. There's some doubts with somebody or multiple somebodies to which you're not ready to go all in at that point, or you're going all in more off of blind faith than you are in confidence, which just is not Monty's bag.
And then that's when we go to the scenario where there's levels, or there's a checklist when you go down to, if you're not comfortable with this team, going all in with this team, all right, let me go down the checklist. To me, not saying I want this to happen, but the way it should go is you feel calls for Keegan Murray. And you see what you can get.
Well, we all know how much you dislike.
I love Keegan Murray.
Matt George disagrees.
I love Keegan Murray. But, I mean, some would say the first thing would be Sabonis. I disagree.
I don't think anybody. I feel like, well, yeah, I can think of a friend of ours who, yeah, you're right.
I disagree, but some would say that would be the move.
I just don't know how you don't start with Fox, though, in that situation.
Well, because
if you go Keegan, to me, you're building on Fox and Sabonis, and your idea is Fox and Sabonis are still the 1-2 that can do it.
Yeah.
That's my thinking.
The reason why you don't go with Fox is because you can't replace him necessarily. Unless you're trading him because it's...
But what are you trying to accomplish?
Trying to get better, right? You're trying to go to a championship.
I think there's only one... Well, never mind.
But Who do you hate?
Well, if you're trying to get better, we're talking like now, like right now, and you throw caution to the wind, it's Keegan.
And that's all in.
Yeah, right, right.
If you're not going all in.
And you better be certain...
Exactly.
Like 110% certain that this is the move.
Mm-hmm.
This is a championship caliber move.
Yep.
So imagine if the Sacramento Kings are a first round playoff exit and Monty is put at a crossroads this upcoming offseason where it's trade Keegan for one last swing out of kind of desperation, or hold on to Keegan and use my assets in addition to that to add on to this group because I have the confidence that one more piece with my boatload of draft picks and maybe throw in a Kevin Herter, whatever. Like, that's the route that obviously Monty is going to prefer to go. And that's going to be the crossroads that Monty's going to find himself at. Because if you're not making an all-in move, you're selling, right? If you don't think that you can get it done with this core of Fox and Sabonis and you're trying to move on from one of them, the likelihood of you trading DeMontis Sabonis and getting a just as good / better player is pretty low. At that point, you're probably trading DeMontis Sabonis away for draft picks and kind of a soft reset in the best case scenario. Mm-hmm. So you need to be put in a position. You need to put yourself in a position where I feel confident going all in with this group. And to me, the only way to do that is actually get a playoff series under your belt.
I absolutely lost track of time. I have like four more things written down, and Jesse's making us end the show.
I'll just put them in the rundown.
Thank you guys so much for being with us today. We'll see you back here. Make sure you're subscribed to the Locked On Kings podcast.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!